Panda Talks has adult themes and uses adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm thinking about doing something so stupid, but I've been wanting to do it for a minute, and now I feel like I think I could get away with it. So, as you know, as I've shared on this podcast before, I'm really into the roll for choose, insert whatever here on TikTok. It started with roll for sandwich, and it since have like it's been led to like roll for cocktail, roll for ice cream, pizza, sushi. Then it like went more crafty. Roll for fursona, which I like don't care for furries, but I follow it. Out of all these, the only one I don't follow is roll for puppet, because puppets kind of freak me out. But I've
It's like
recently
roll for nightmare. Would you
yeah.
like me to create you a nightmare?
Oh my gosh, exactly. Well, and then the latest ones I have are roll for clown and roll for chinchilla bath. And after that, I'm like, you know what? I've been wanting to do a roll for book. Like, I have a list of books I want to read. Let's separate them all into different categories. Love stories, self-help books, horror stories, whatever, you know, fantasy. Oh, I have eight different categories. Roll a D8 and go from there. But then I thought, no, it's kind of stupid. But after roll for chinchilla dust bath, I feel like maybe I could do a roll for book. Would anyone out there watch that? Does that sound like something interesting? Think about doing it, especially after roll for chinchilla dust bath. If we're gonna roll for the dust a chinchilla rolls in, think, you know, and then it's like book talk and. Anyways, welcome to Panda Talks. I'm
And
Amanda.
I'm Brady.
And I've just been horribly depressed today. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about it on the podcast anymore, but I feel like I've just been on the verge of crying all day. So let's record an episode. Let's make me happy. And today's episode might be a little bit boring for some, but it was inspired by McCade, our faithful listener. He pointed out in the In bulk episode, I was being a little over dramatic, and I said we were talking about the author of the book I was reading from, said that she likes to take a dip in a river around In bulk, and I said, well, she lives in the Mediterranean. If I did that, I'd die of hypothermia, and I was being dramatic, but McCade pointed out that that was BS, and so I thought, you know what? Let's do a whole episode on hydrotherapy. Maybe that'll be interesting. I have a whole everything I could say about this. The fun fact, this is the second time I'm trying to record it. I don't know if you know this, Brady. I tried recording it while Brady was at work, and I had a spooky, scary little visitor peeping his head around the damn corner at me to the point where it freaked me out, so I had to stop recording and watch TV. So here's take two, and honestly, maybe it'll be funner with Brady to give me his insights, his commentary on the matter. But does this sound boring to you, Brady? Be honest.
No.
What do you know of hydrotherapy?
I know that they blast it up your butt and it cleans out all your insides and then flush it out.
I mean, I honestly think that could be considered a form of hydrotherapy.
I think it's called a hydrocolonic. What they, I want to say, a reference
What about a coffee colonic? That was
to.
on my strange addiction.
I know. I don't like the taste of coffee, so I don't know if I'd like the butt taste of coffee.
Can you taste it up your butt?
Hell yeah, you can.
How do you know?
You have more taste buds in there? I have no idea.
It's like that rumor where it's like if you dip your balls in soy sauce, you can taste it. Have you heard that
I
rumor?
have heard that rumor, and I can confirm that it is true.
Have you really tried it?
No.
Do you want to? For
Sure.
science.
No, for fun.
Okay, fuck science.
Yeah, science has let me down too many times.
All right. Is the couch shaking or is it just
It's
me?
my controller.
Is your controller really shaking the whole couch?
I don't know.
Brady's playing Hogwarts Legacy. I'm trying not to watch. I was supposed to be playing it, but we fought over it and he won. And I got two black eyes.
It wasn't really a fight. We were just both sitting here not doing anything.
Well, I...
And they're like, all right, you can play it.
No, I said, I think I want to do a podcast tonight, but then play all the extra stuff that we're not recording for your YouTube channel. And you're like, oh, well, I could play it. And I ended up with two black eyes, and here we are.
That's not funny.
Just going to let that hang. Not going to defend yourself.
No, I mean... I feel like
I don't have any black eyes, and we shouldn't even joke about it.
Well, I was gonna say before we started, this was going to be my opening, but you had another opening that you wanted to do.
I wanted to know if people would watch my roll for book, my roll for book talk.
No, I was just thinking, this is off topic of what you want to talk about for the episode, but I'm gonna talk about it anyways. I went outside. Just a minute ago I didn't go outside. I opened the back door to shut it and lock it. And it was really windy. And I don't know why, like, the wind makes me so uncomfortable. I guess that's the only way to put it.
Does it hurt your joints?
I don't know. Not uncomfortable, like uncomfortable. And it makes me uncomfortable, like uneasy. Like I feel... nervous. It makes me feel nervous. And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, is that like, did something happen like as a child?
Or in a past life?
Or in a past life. I don't believe in past lives, but I'll let you.
Were you in a tornado in your past life?
Why does wind make me so uneasy? Like, and it's not just like wind. It's like hard wind that's going to like blow stuff away.
I will say, where we are at, where we're living, before we lived out here, your grandmother lived out here, and I feel like every time we came out to visit her, it was super, super windy. And since moving here, I feel like my life has been a Studio Ghibli movie since moving in. At least when we first moved in, I felt like Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle, being that crazy old lady, witch on a rampage, cleaning, constantly, and it was just a... I've had enough of this place. And I remember one of the first nights here, it was so windy, and all I could think of was that scene from Totoro where they're sitting in the tub and the wind's ripping the roof off, and May's like, Daddy, I'm afraid the house is going to blow in. And mm-hmm. I felt like that. So I definitely, in this house, I think of Totoro very often.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's funny to me because it's only like hard wind, like, because we'll have a thunderstorm or whatever, and it's like the wind's blowing and the rain's blowing and like everything's just blowing, and I'll just sit there and be like, oh man, this is crazy, but it's no big deal. But then if I walk outside and all I can hear is wind, and all I can feel is wind, and I'm just like, it just makes me uneasy, and I don't know what it is. I just was like, I don't think it would be something to do with like a child, because I don't remember having like anything as a child.
Why don't you ask your mom?
The only thing I remember about my childhood and weather was one time when I was little. I was probably like our 3-year-old's age, so 3. And we had this thunderstorm and it had stopped raining. And I went out to play in the front yard. And as I was out front, thunder happened. Like there was no rain. No, like it was clearing up. And a huge thunder that like shook the whole house, and I was in the front yard, and I had just walked out, and I just like, it scared the shit out of me, and I just like ran in the house crying, and I'm like, okay, so I would be understandably afraid of wind, but I'm not. I mean, of like a thunderstorm, but I'm not afraid of thunderstorms. I love thunderstorms. So I'm just like, I don't know what the deal is with the wind, but I just figured I'd throw that out there in case anybody, probably only McCade will respond, but if anybody's heard of this, let me know. Is there a way to cure it without drugs?
Hypnotherapy. I know a guy.
Hydrotherapy.
Right, let's get into today's topic because I'm actually really excited about it because the whole concept behind this podcast is I'd never wanted to be pigeonholed into one topic. If you go back and listen to why I started a podcast, the TLDR is basically I was listening to a bunch of podcasts and I wanted to be part of the conversation. So this is me talking back. So that's why I borrow a lot of different podcast ideas. Like last week we did Am I the Asshole? I listened to Distractible do that podcast and I wanted to put in my two cents of, yeah, I think this person was an asshole, or no, this person definitely wasn't an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I borrow a lot of things, because this is me being part of that bigger conversation. And that's why I try to be very open with our listeners. I want to hear what you have to say. And I never wanted to be pigeonholed into, okay, we're strictly paranormal, or we're strictly anime, or we're strictly book. It's just whatever makes me happy and excited and I want to talk about. And that's, I kind of classify it as nerdy, because we more often than not talk about nerdy things. But one thing that gets my giblets so excited is massage. And I've been just wanting to do an episode on massage, but like, what do you do? It's so visual, it's so physical, that how do you talk about it and make it entertaining? So that's why, disclaimer, this one might be boring, might not be for everyone. But I'm very grateful, McCade, that you gave me this idea. Thank you. Because I just thought we can talk about hydrotherapy, and it's good for me to go back and review all the books and all the different practices of hydrotherapy. I would say the only form of hydrotherapy I am practicing today as a massage therapist is working with hot towels. But one can dream. One day I will have a beautiful she shed that I will do massage out of. And along with hot towels, I'll do like a paraffin wax. I'll have a steamer. I mean, if I want to dream big, I'll have a Vichy shower machine. But in reality, that'll never happen again. Though those are amazing. And I'll perform sugar scrubs. I'll perform mud wraps. I'll have my own shower in my little she shed, so people can go shower after their salt scrub. We'll get all into that. And just to kind of fill the time, because I don't know how this is going to go. Honestly, what I did is just pulled down my hydrotherapy school book. I doubt anyone's going to find this book, but if you want to look for it on eBay or something, maybe you can find a used copy. If you're interested, it's called Hydrotherapy and Spa Preparations, Steiner Education Group. Because Steiner's what owned my school. So, just to give a little background about me, I have been a massage therapist for 12 years now. I graduated massage therapy school March of 2011. So 12 years. I can't believe it's been like that. And one question I get asked a lot is, how did I choose this career? Which is an understandable question, because it's kind of a weird career if you think about it. I mean, if you break it down. And I joke all the time that a friend of the show, Bucket Clayson, he's a union iron worker, and he always says on his podcast, I think he might even have said it on our podcast when we had him on that one time, that iron work is one of the only jobs that you can call your boss a son of a bitch, and he can call you a derogatory term, and you're still friends the next day, because that's just how the work is. It's just the dynamic of iron workers. And I would argue that in my profession, when I work with colleagues, at the last job I had, I basically saw both my bosses naked. I saw numerous co-workers naked, and almost all of them saw me naked. And that's weird to think about, but it's not weird.
That's my job actually also.
But I never once went, oh my gosh, I'm seeing my boss naked right now. It was, she has such hip problems. She hired me specifically because she loved my hip work. And all I could think of was, okay, we're going to get in these glutes. I'm going to get deep into this head of femur. We're going to do the piriformis. Oh, we are going to get into her hip flexors. I'm going to warn her that it's a little personal of a space, but we're both massage therapists, so we both know that it's totally cool. It's totally cool among therapists. Like, we don't even care. So it is, yes, when you break down being a massage therapist, it is kind of a weird concept. there's a lot of healing involved, but if you just strip away everything and just look at it for what it is, you're naked on a table, I'm rubbing oil on you. And that's really weird to think about. I've often stepped outside myself and just been like, this is fucking weird, right? This is weird. So how I chose this career, if anyone was wondering, is when I was in high school, I had a big dream. I wanted to be a marine biologist when I grew up. And I love my mother, and I'm not trying to badmouth her, but she's a realist, and she told me that I would never make it because I wasn't good at the maths, which she was 100% accurate. And this is, it's a funny story because I'm really pissed at myself, but at the same time I'm not, and I'll get into that. But as I was in high school, I had this really shitty teacher, Mr. Stone. I don't care, I'm going to call him out because he should not have been teaching. Did you have Mr. Stone? Have we talked about this?
No.
I'm pretty sure he came from your school before he came to mine.
He did, but I never had him.
Oh, don't know why he's an educator. He was the type of teacher that if I sloughed and showed up at the last 10 minutes with a Diet Coke in hand, he'd mark me as there the whole time. His biggest highlight was, I'm going to do a whole class on just UFOs, which we were all excited about because we got out of financial lit. Or he would just sit on Zillow, one of the retailer apps, and then show us why living in the East Coast versus the West Coast was much better. Piece of shit teacher. But he one day put a math question on the board and was like, who can do this question? And a lot of people raised their hand and I didn't. And he said, everyone with their hand down needs to know that this is the basic question in, like, the basic, most basic math question in the most basic math class in college. If you can't do this, you're not smart enough for college. And I took that to heart and thought, well, shit, I don't have a career lined up. I had a mother that was very, figure out your career. You're going to graduate soon. You need to have a plan before you graduate. So graduation slowly approaching. I've just been told I'm too stupid for college. And I was tripping balls, didn't know what to do, felt super stressed out. And the only thing I was really good at was musical theater and drama. Those were my favorite classes. But realistically, what do you do with that? Nothing. Like, there's no career in that unless you want to be a teacher, which I did not. No offense, Brady, because I know you majored in that for a minute. I'll just move right along.
Sorry, I thought you were going to keep going.
I just feel bad because I feel like I'm just hogging the time, but stop me when you want to say something.
Okay.
Anyway, those were the only classes I was good at, and I just kind of reflected back on, like, my choir experience, my drama experience, musical theater. Like, one of the things you do to relax before performance, before class starts, is you'd turn to the person to your left and you'd give them a shoulder massage. And we had kind of a conga line of people rubbing each other's shoulders, and you turn to the right and do it to the other person just to kind of loosen up before everything. And I always had people fighting over my little shoulder massages, which weren't anything special. So that kind of stuck with me. So one day I was just in the computer lab bullshitting, looking up different things I could do. I knew I wanted to help people in, like, the healthcare industry, but I didn't want to be a nurse. And physical therapy popped up, and I thought, well, I could do that. And so I clicked on it, and I saw that it was like a 7-year program, 7 or 9 years, can't remember exactly. And I thought, well, shit, if I can't do college. And at this time, I, like, hated high school, was just dying to get out. So I didn't want to do 7 to 9 years more of schooling. So I don't know how, but that somehow led to massage therapy. And I thought, or I saw that it was only a 9-month course, and I thought, oh, I could do that. Basically the same thing, right?
I'm sorry, I keep moving so much.
I know, what is... You in pain tonight?
No, I was trying to find my monster and I couldn't find it.
Oh, my leg's freaking killing. So I wonder if there's a snowstorm on the horizon. That or I got a tight IT band, which probably that too. I didn't anticipate this backstory to be so long. Apologies. Anyway, so I remember the night I told my family I want to be a massage therapist. We're, as we've mentioned, we're LDS. And I don't know if this is really an LDS thing. I feel like it is, but Sunday dinners are big. Our families are big and we're tight knit. So I remember it was a Sunday night at my grandmother's house, Sunday dinner. So aunts, uncles, everyone was there. And I know I've mentioned I'm an oops baby. So I always say, like, I had five moms because I was basically for a little bit raised by my aunts and my grandma as my mom did the single mom thing. And I just feel like growing up, if I got a bad grade, not only would I hear about it from my parents, but my aunts and my grandma would have a say in it as well. I always joke about that, but I announced at Sunday dinner I wanted to be a massage therapist, and every person told me how it was such a horrible, horrible idea. They told me about this aunt that I had, and I know the aunt, but I didn't know this about her. I don't know if she divorced my uncle, my grandpa's brother. And they said, well, she's a massage therapist and she cheated on her husband. And she's a lesbian, but she's also dating a male biker. And so in their minds, I was going to be a cheating lesbian, but I was also dating males, which doesn't... Well, I don't know how that...
If you're going to be a lesbian, you got to commit fully. You can't...
I need to date a woman biker, right?
You can't go both ways.
Exactly. But that was their fear for me, is that I was going to be a slut. I think my cousin that even... He married a stripper slash escort. I think they were even like, oh, you're going to be like his wife. Which... Okay, I don't... Okay, whatever. I'm going to be a lesbian, but I'm also going to date men. So the term they're looking for is bisexual, but we'll move past that. Just every single person shut me down, home, told me it was such a stupid idea. And my mom finally intervened and told me that I was going to be a dental hygienist like she had been, or a dental assistant. Which one do you have to do long-term school for? Hygienist?
I don't know. I feel like my friends in high school were...
My sister's currently
dental hygienist, this. And I feel like it's just a trade school. I don't think it's like a long-term...
Well, one, you have to go to more school for... I think you're an assistant, and then you go to school to be a hygienist.
Okay, that sounds right.
Because my sister's doing this now, but I can't keep track. So my mom wanted me to be an assistant, and then eventually a hygienist. Like, she was a dental assistant for a minute. So she wanted me to follow her footsteps, basically. And I remember just being so upset. And one night, I went out to... dinner with some friends. I can't remember if there's this... It was with my friend Tiara, who has been on the podcast before. Tiara from Twice the Podcast. And my friend Jake. And then I don't know if there's a third person there or not. I vaguely remember. But I remember Tiara and Jake being there. We had gone to IHOP in Springville. And I'm bringing that up very specifically for those who know the area. And I remember being in the car after and just being so bummed out, being like, I don't want to be a dental hygienist. I want to do this massage thing and give it a shot. And I remember my friend Jake turning towards me. I'm in the back seat. Tiara's driving. And Jake turned towards me and said, Amanda, it's your fucking life. Don't listen to your mom. Do what you want to do. And right as those words are sinking in, right after he says them, Tiara turns left out of the parking lot onto the main road. So everyone who knows the area knows where this is going. Because it was like a pause as she's driving, and then we just see an onset of headlights coming towards us. Because at that part of the road, there's a little, what's it called? Median? Medium?
Mm-hmm.
Little concrete.
Median.
Median in the middle of the road. And Tiara, my beautiful blonde friend, has... turned into oncoming traffic, which what follows is screaming from every person in the car as Tiara jerks the car back into the parking lot. And I'm laughing my ass off at this point because I face tragedy with humor. That's my coping mechanism. And we about died. We about got in a head on. And it was the funniest thing. And I still laugh about it. And yeah, that was that story. So the next day, I'm arguing with my mom, and she is telling me I can't do the massage thing. It's bullshit. I have to do the hygienist or the dental assisting school. Sorry. Hands me a card. Hands me the home phone, the portable home phone, and walks off to her bedroom. And I'm just so pissed, so defeated. And I just dial the stupid number to the school, the assistant school. And I met with the, your call cannot be completed as dialed tone. And I remember just sighing, like, oh my hell, like, I don't even want to do this. I freaking called and they don't even, like, have the courtesy to have the right number. Or I fucked it up. Like, just, it was just another drop in the fuck it bucket. And I just remember, like, in that moment, just listening to that stupid recording, looking at the fridge and seeing the pamphlet that I got for Utah College of Massage Therapy. And looking at the number and everything, the little brochure that was on the fridge. And just thinking back to what Jake said, like, echoing in my head. It's your fucking life. Do what you want, not what your mom wants you to do. And I just called them and I just set up an appointment and I drove myself. My crush came with me. We got little massages, a little open house. And I will say, in my mom's defense, because I don't mean to shit talk her, she was very supportive. She was actually got on board and excited. And it's funny because looking back, the people that were the biggest anti you going to massage school or me going to massage school are my biggest supporters now and my constant clients. So my mom helped me pay for tuition and my table, but we had like an in-school tuition and I had to pay that myself, but she helped me pay the big bill and then pay for my table, which was really nice. So that is the 30-minute story on why did I choose this as a career. And I will say it was kind of one of those things that I just thought I'd try it. And the benefits of it were, well, I can do this while working and going to actual school and getting an actual career. But honestly, like I said at the beginning, I hate myself that I listen to someone tell me that I'm too stupid to do anything. I don't encourage anyone to do that. That's such bullshit. But I like where my life is. I love my career. You often hear you have the touch. I don't know what the exact hell that means, but I'm told that all the time. Oh, you got the touch. And I must, because
it's like The Shining, but with massage.
Exactly. I can speak to the muscles. No, I've not seen The Shining, but I want to. But I just love it. And I honestly think I was meant to do it, because it is a form of healing that doesn't cost a lot. I think more people need it. And I don't really have to break my back like a nurse to do it. Like, sure, I get sore, but I need to do my own stretching and my own self-massage, and I can last a while. And I remember, and like, not to brag or anything, but one of my first massages, because you do these clinicals in school where you work on the public, and it's stupid because they teach you how to drape, and then they teach you the very, very, very basic for Swedish massage. And then they're like, hey, start working on Saturdays. Your goal is to do 5 massages in a day. You can, you know, you're going to work for 5 hours and hopefully get 5 massages in that time. And all you know how to do is apply lotion, basically. Effleurage, a little bit of petrissage and tapotement, and that's it. And so one of my first ones where I still didn't know anything, I'm still so fresh in the industry, and the people that you work on, they leave you a review. So you can read the good, the bad, and the ugly, and like, learn from it. One of my first massages was, and I remember talking to this guy, and he told me about all the different places he goes. He loves to travel. He gets massages everywhere he goes. And I'm like, where's your best massage? And he told me it was in Sweden. It was a real authentic Swedish massage. It was the most relaxing thing. And he wrote me a review saying, I've had massage all over the world. This is my top 3 or 5, but it was up there. And it made me feel so good, because it was one of the first massages I ever did. And I mean, I will say with massage, we're like, massage therapists are like ice cream flavors. You might not like my massage, but you might like my buddy's massage, who I don't ever mention his name. My friend from my old job. There's some people that prefer him over me, and vice versa. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than just, it's
Preference.
Preference, thank you. But I know I'm a damn good therapist, and I still get great compliments to this day, and I love my job, and I don't regret that I listened to stupid Mr. Stone. Because I like where I'm at. Like, I'm mad that I listened to him and thought I was so stupid. But I also, I love anatomy, and I love massage, and hydrotherapy's fun. So that's my 30-minute story. I'm so sorry. Let's talk about hydrotherapy now, because that's why you came, right? All right, so let's get into hydrotherapy. Are you bored yet, Brady?
So bored.
I've just been talking about myself this whole time. I just love massage. And like I said, I've been wanting to talk about massage because, like, I love anatomy. It's just another thing for me to geek out with, right?
Yeah.
So once again, this book is called Hydrotherapy and Spa Preparations. It's by Steiner Education Group. I don't think you can buy this, but it's my school book. Maybe you can find it on eBay. Hydrotherapy
and you. For some reason, I thought you were gonna...
Someone should write that. I could look up that book and see if it's a real thing. Yeah. Okay, so it first talks about chapter one, the history of hydrotherapy. And that's what I love about massage, is it goes into the history. How did this start? Because it talks about how when we were the first early humans sought the water for healing. And it even relates somewhere in here that even animals, ancient hunters learned by observing injured animals who would treat their wounds in natural springs. Communal bathing, another trait we see in animal kingdoms, build strong bonds between humans as well. Which, I don't know. When I think animals, I don't think of communal bathing. Except for, like, tigers will sit in a pool. But I don't think it's necessarily, like, a communal thing. I think it's, like, a... I don't know. We're all just sitting in a pool at the same time.
Yeah.
We're two tigers chilling in a hot tub. 5 feet apart.
But you're not gay.
But they're not gay. But that's what my book says. And, I mean, it's true, because look it back in, oh gosh, I can't think of the name now. In history, what have we done as humans? We've gone to hot springs to cure our ailments. What's that famous haunted hotel that was built as a resort for healing over hot springs? Was it not the Cecil Hotel?
No.
That's a different hotel.
I don't know, because I'm thinking of the one from, like, The Shining's based off of, but that one's not on the hot spring.
I know Dave Schrader went to it.
Where the dude was, like, secretly killing people?
Yeah. I just typed in, is it in Arkansas?
I don't remember where it was.
I don't remember.
I'd know the name of it if you said it.
Eureka Springs. Was it Eureka Springs in Arkansas? The Eureka Hotel?
That doesn't sound familiar, but... So I guess maybe I won't know it if you say it.
Okay, all right, cool. But it's basically, I mean, if you look back in history, going to, like, even with the Native Americans, they would go to hot springs to cure their ailments. It's just something we've always done as a species, to water heals. I think that's, like, yeah, something we've all have understood. Let's get back to my book. Many hydrotherapy techniques we use today were first prescribed in ancient Greek and Rome. I believe it's Eclipses.
Not even close.
Asclepius. He is Apollo's son. Apollo is the god of the sun and healing, and Asclepius, I believe, just took the medical route. Yeah, he's the god of medicine. He is the son of Apollo and Coronis? C-O-R-O-N-I-S? or...
What? Spell it again. Sorry.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to call bullshit because it's Apollo and Coronis or Apollo... Or Ercyon or of Apollo alone. So his mother, we're unsure of, but he's Apollo's son. So god of healing. And in ancient Greece and Rome, they had these temples dedicated to him and for healing treatments, including a variety of hydro and massage therapy. And then later, Hippocrates, who was the Greek, was he a philosopher or just a physician? He was a Greek physician for sure, and we got a lot of our medical understanding from him. I mean, you've definitely have heard of his name if you've heard of the Hippocratic Oath. He preached about the healing types, water cure in all of his, like, medical research. And then you look back to even Rome. What did I even just say?
In Rome?
If you look back to Rome, the Romans built elaborate and expensive baths for civilians to enjoy. Check this shit out. This is amazing. The Roman baths were holistic health centers as well as social, entertainment, learning, and exercise facilities. Men and women bathed separately. At Roman's peak, 5 imperial baths existed. Each could accommodate 1,000 bathers or more. The bathhouse included dressing rooms, cold baths, tepid baths, hot baths, air baths / dry heat rooms, exercise courts, gardens, fountains, libraries, arts and sculptures, musicians, and entertainment. I don't want to say I wish I lived back during Roman times because it was like plague and famine and disease, and also women were pieces of shit. So I don't wish I existed back then. But that shit's pretty cool. I'm gonna be honest. I've always wanted to go to an actual bathhouse. Like a Japanese or Korean bathhouse. I think that'd be so fun. Or even like one of these Roman bathhouses. To have freaking live musicians while you're just bathing. I don't know. It seems kind of luxurious. Just me?
No, it'd be interesting. I think it's one of those things, like, as an American, you'd have to get over, you know? Because I feel like a lot of people, like, they enjoy their privacy and whatever. And, like, bathing in public. Let's be serious. Like, as a kid, I don't know how it was in the ladies, but it was always weird when you'd go to, like, a swimming pool.
Oh, and there's like naked old people. It's always old
people. Yeah, it's always old people. The old school people. And, like, they'd be just walking around butt naked, and you're just like, what is going on? You know, looking at your dad, like, why are these people naked and blah, blah, blah. And now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, I have to shower at work, and it is what it is. Like, would I prefer my personal shower? Probably, but the fact that I am in a shower with a bunch of other people is not necessarily, like, terribly awkward now, but I understand, like, it was awkward when I started.
Oh, absolutely, because I remember being in high school and being on swim team, and we'd all crowd around the two dressing stalls while the coach yelled, hurry, 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 get in the pool, get in the pool, get in the pool. Well, there's only two dressing stalls, so we had to learn very quickly to just be comfortable naked in front of each other. And maybe that's why I have this lax feeling around bodies. A body's a body. All right, nipples are nipples, boobs are boobs, vaginas are vaginas. Like, they might... Vaginas are vaginas. Ugh. Vulvas are vulvas. I'm saying a lot of naughty words. I feel naughty, and I shouldn't, because it's the human body. But they might look a little different, but they're essentially all the same. And I don't know. I feel comfortable as a massage therapist around people. And maybe it came from that. Just the fact that there's only two dressing rooms.
Yeah.
In on swim team. So I just had to be comfortable with naked people. Like, it just happens. It's fine. They don't want to be naked in front of you any more than you want them naked in front of you. Does that make sense? I'm rambling.
I know. Sorry. I know what you're trying to say, but yeah, it's like awkward for everybody, but you're in it together. But like you said, it's, I don't know, it's, there's a certain feeling like to be like free of that, I guess. Like, I've never been to a bathhouse or whatever, but at the same time, like, being able to shower in front of other people at work, not, you know, these are people that I have to see day after day, every day, you know, and to deal with them, it's not that bad. So it's like being naked in front of somebody that you're probably never going to see again is probably not that big of a deal. But I mean, to some people, they'd probably be like, oh, it's even more mortifying because I don't know these people. What are they, you know, and I don't know.
You just got to get over it. All right, so what brought an end to Roman bathhouses? Well, it was the fucking Christians, because they're just the biggest killjoys in all of fucking history. And they had the rule of thumb that cleanliness was next to godliness. You hear that? And their philosophy was, if you had time to bathe, you had time to pray. So it was almost seen as vain to take a bath. You should, instead of taking a bath, use that time to pray to God. And then you hear that.
Heaven forbid you can pray in the bath.
Well, no, you couldn't, because you're nude. And how dare you be nude and see your own body parts and get lustuous thoughts. And you hear that term, they stunk to high heaven. It was almost like a badge of honor to, like, be stinky. Because it meant you're so pious, you're so dedicated to the Lord that you never bathed, you just prayed. And, I mean, look at brides have a bouquet that came from that era of the bride was so smelly. Well, I think she got a bath for her wedding. Don't quote me on that. But basically everyone else was smelly, so she got a fresh bouquet of flowers to block out the nasty smell of everyone else crammed into that church watching her get married. And so hydrotherapy kind of fell off the map a little bit, which brings us into the modern history, which I'm going to be honest. When I first did this, I was just kind of reading out of the book and making comments where I saw fit. And it's pretty boring. Modern history is pretty boring. But basically, a bunch of different people, as early as the 1800s, kind of saw the benefit to hydrotherapy and brought it to the United States.
Sorry, I'm going to try to scoot away so you can't hear my clicking so bad.
Oh, yeah. Stop clicking.
Sorry, I'm fighting like 100,000 goblins.
Which I'd say... Nah, never mind. That's not going to... I'm not going to finish that thought. So, Vincent Presentes?
Vincent Price, yeah.
Was a Celsian? Like Sicilian? Is that Celsian? Peasant who used cold water to successfully treat ailments in both animals and people. He lived from 1799 to 1852. Father Knip. Knip? That's fucking stupid. Knip. K-N-E-I-P-P. I can't believe I did that. Father Knip. His influence on the practice of hydrotherapy can still be seen today. Was originally rejected from the priesthood due to his tuberculosis. Then we have Benedict Lust and Henry Linder, who brought Knip's teachings to America. Lust also thought the greatest menace to official medicine, also known as the greatest menaces to official medicine, founded the American Neuropathy Association and intrigued hydrotherapy into chiropractic's massage therapy, integrated hydrotherapy into chiropractic massage therapy. And physical therapy. Lindler, a real estate tycoon from Montana, developed diabetes and was told by both American and European physicians that he would soon die from the disease. A friend urged Linder to see Father Knip, who was able to control Linder's disease through diet and hydrotherapy. So I apologize once again. I'm in a dark room with only a TV lighting me. So, and I am just stupid and can't read. We'll just throw that out there.
Don't say that.
And we're going to fast forward ahead to Willem Winternitz, a prominent Viennese physician who wrote more than 200 books and articles on hydrotherapy and was the first to state that the strongest effects of hydrotherapy and meditation through the nervous system. And that it was brought to the U.S. by two physicians, Simon...
And Garfunkel.
No. Baruch? And Joseph Henry Kellogg. And we've heard of Kellogg. We know what Kellogg did.
Made cereal.
To stop people from masturbating.
It didn't work.
It didn't it? Do you feel like masturbating after a bowl of Kellogg Flakes?
Pretty much.
You don't, because you're sad and depressed because it was an awful bowl of cereal. Let's be honest.
Frosted Flakes?
No. Not Frost. Did I play it?
I don't know. I heard Frosted Flakes, but...
No, just Kellogg Flakes. Oh, no Frost.
Corn Flakes.
Corn Flakes. Called. It's not even corn. It's. I'm pretty sure it's just bran. Bran Flakes?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's corn.
Raisin Bran? Is that what you're thinking of?
Okay. Kellogg... Founded? Started? I don't know the term right now. It was the Battle Creek Sanitarium...
Sanitarium. Leave me be.
It was a health resort in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that had hot springs attached to it, didn't it?
I don't know if that's the one.
Well, basically, I'm pretty sure he was a con artist. Maybe he believed in the work he did. But he was trying to heal people. And he was, like, a religious fanatic, and so he's trying to introduce... I'm trying to just remember everything I've learned about him, but unfortunately it's
not. I feel like he's not the one that murdered people.
No. Well, I mean, not straight out, but he definitely didn't do the logical thing and was more like, oh, just pray about it, and then people just met their death, if that makes sense. I know for sure Aaron Mankey's done a whole, like, several episodes on him. But he didn't invent the cereal, and it was because he thought masturbation made people sick. So it was one of those things like, hey, don't masturbate. Eat this breakfast cereal, and it makes you want to not masturbate. So, but we get cereal from him. So I hope when everyone thinks of Kellogg's, they think of masturbation, because I certainly do. All right, let's move on, because he's not even a big deal. He just used hydrotherapy, and I think he's a big reason why a lot of, is it, I don't want to say insane asylums.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're famous for using hydrotherapy, which does work, but they used it in such an abusive way that I feel like that's, it kind of got a bad rap from them. Maybe I'm wrong. But
I think sanitariums just kind of earned their own bad rap. I don't know if it had anything to do with anything, but it was always like they were always using, they treated mental illness like it was always curable.
Yeah. Yeah. So after Kellogg, we have, oh, I don't know, naturopathic doctors, O.G. Carroll and John Bastier, were both extremely successful in their practice of naturopathy and hydrotherapy, even through a time when complementary medicine was disagreed. I don't know that word. I can't read right now, sorry. As late as the 1930s, hydrotherapy was still being taught and used in medical schools and hospitals in America and Europe. With the advancements of drug therapy and the 1950s, attitudes of new must be better, hydrotherapy was forgotten. Today, practice of hydrotherapy include physical therapists, chiropractors, homeopaths, naturopaths, midwives, massage therapists, aerobic instructors, athletic trainers, and colony hydrotherapists, to name a few. So I know that was very brief, but I didn't want to just sit and read from my book, but I did feel like it was important to kind of know, like, hey, this is where it came from, and okay, cool. So now that we know kind of the history.
Did you mention what hydrotherapy is? Because I don't, I may have been, like, not paying attention, but I do not remember you saying.
That's really studious, and I should have started with that. I should have led with that. But I'm about to do that right now. Because chapter 2 of my book, Introduction to Hydrotherapy. What is hydrotherapy? What the hell is hydrotherapy? Hydrotherapy is the use of water in any of its three forms, solid, liquid, or vapor, in internally or externally, in the treatment of disease or trauma. So basically, ice baths, even rubbing ice on people. Oh my gosh, when I was in aesthetic school, we did a dry ice facial. I've never since performed it on anyone, but that's something I'd like to do again. That was really intriguing. I can't remember. I think she steamed the shit out of the face first and then used the dry ice last. That's something I'd have to definitely relearn before I performed. But
yeah,
interesting nonetheless.
Dry ice?
Dry ice. She rubbed it on. She just rubbed it straight on someone's face.
That sounds uncomfortable.
Alright, so that was, you know, ice bath, ice cubes, dry ice. No one else. Use dry ice at home. Don't do it on your skin.
It burns. You get dry ice burns.
Liquid, which obviously, liquid, you know,
yeah.
Hot water, cold water. Or vapor, which could be a steamer. We use steam on the face in aesthetics. A sauna. You have a dry sauna and what's a steam room?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? Why does that feel wrong? You have the sauna. And you have the steam room.
Well, that's what I was confused about. Because I remember the first time I ever went into a sauna, it was a dry sauna. And I'd always seen, because every time you see depictions of saunas, it's always the sweat.
Yes.
The sweat rooms. And you're like, oh. So then I went in and they just had like a heater in there. And it was just like a all wooden room. And you just, it was just really hot. And so you'd sweat that way instead of having, you know, whatever water. But yeah.
Yes. So. Yes. My first job, we had a steam room. So I learned the difference. Well, I mean, I already knew the difference at school, but I got to see firsthand the difference between a sauna, which I had sat in before,
mm-hmm.
and a steam room, which we had at my job. So that's kind of what hydrotherapy is in a nutshell. It's the use of the different forms of water, hot or cold. Okay, so I have some notes here. It's more for massage therapists, but we'll highlight what would be useful to everyone at home. Properties of water that make it an effective medium for hydrotherapy. So why would you want to use water, essentially? Heat and cold are the messages that the body responds to. Water is the medium or the vehicle in which the message is delivered. The following are reasons why water makes such an effective medium. Accessible, abundant, and affordable.
That makes sense.
If you don't have access to water, that's terrible. I'm sorry. But most people have access to water. It is a universal solvent. Can be used in any form with a narrow temperature range. High specific heat. Excellent ability to carry and give off heat. Compatibility with body. Our bodies are comprised of mostly water. Conductive, transfers quickly and efficiently. The transfer of heat in water is 25 times faster than air. Which, fun note on that, the best time to add lotion to your body is right after a shower, because your pores are already open up. You're still damp, and so your body's absorbing that water. We learned that in aesthetic school. A lot of this relates to aesthetics, which is great for me. Control of temperature is easy. Fluidity allows for controlling to any body part. giving full contract to any treatment. All right, Kate, we're going to read the Ten Commandments of Hydrotherapy. This is about where the Shadow Man started peeking out at me. So I do remember that not all of this was read. So we're going to skip around. We're going to skip around to where it applies to not therapist.
Okay.
So with intense hydrotherapy treatment, so if you're going to be doing this at home, the fuck was that?
It might have been the back door slamming shut.
That was not the back door slamming shut. I know what that sounds like.
Was it in the fridge then?
Maybe.
See, there's something falling down inside of the fridge or the back screen door slamming shut.
Okay, so I think the most important thing to remember with hydrotherapy, and I tell this to every client, with intense heat treatments, it is important to always end with cold. And I tell this to every client, even if it's not an intense heat treatment, it really is so important to end with cold. And I'm not someone that asks questions, and I'm not really good at science. So let me explain it to you the way I was taught to me. And if this doesn't help you, please do the research yourself. So how it was explained to me was your body's at homeostasis, which is neutral. We're going to put it at zero. If you add cold, your body's going to go into the negatives. If you add heat, your body's going to go into positives. Which, I guess, basically, when you add cold, your blood is going to constrict because you're cold. So think of tighten. Your body's going to tighten. Your muscles are going to tighten. Your veins are going to tighten to conserve the blood. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're hot, you're going to expand. And this is the rule of thumb with hydrotherapy. Add heat when you want the muscle to expand. It's going to increase blood flow because you're hot. So your body's trying to move things along to try to cool down. It is easier for your body to return to homeostasis after it's cold. It is easier for your body to warm up than it is for your body to cool down. That is how it was explained to me. Again, I don't ask questions, so if you want to look this up on your own, feel free to. It just made sense to me that it's easier for your body just to, okay, we're cold, so we're tight and we're holding, and we're warm again, so we're going to go back to normal versus we're hot, we got to cool down, we're pumping blood, okay, we're cool now, so we got to slow down, pumping blood, slow down, okay, we're back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Sorry,
man. Once again, look it up if that doesn't make sense to you, but that's how it was explained to me, and that made total sense to me. So even with my clients that have tight muscles and I want them to use heat, honestly, when in doubt, just use cold. I know cold isn't as fun, it doesn't feel good, it's not as relaxing, but cold does so much better for your muscles than heat does. And not that heat doesn't do good for your muscles, I'm just saying just use cold at the end. If you're someone with, we should get into contraindications, but basically if you're someone with like a circulatory problem or a lymph problem, talk to your doctor before using, but honestly, just, yeah, when in doubt, end with cold. Or use cold. But yeah, cold is such, ice is such a beautiful thing for your body, which I hate the cold. But I've been ending my showers in cold water lately. When you end your showers with cold water, it improves your circulation, it prevents hair and skin from losing natural oils. It decreased in uric acid levels, which lowers stress. It's supposed to help with depression, your metabolism. I've not noticed all these things, but I will say this. I dread my cold showers. I hate my cold showers. I only do 3 minutes. It is the longest 3 minutes of my life. But the rest of the day after my cold showers are finished, I feel so good. Has it helped with depression? I guess, because on those days, I'm not really depressed. Has it helped with metabolism? I don't know. I'm still pretty chubby, but I feel good, and that's what matters. All right, let's move right along. So we're really only going over two things on this page, but like I said, when in doubt, use cold. Cold is appropriate for any stage of injury. And again, this is a therapist book, so we're
Mm-hmm.
okay. Well, let's get into those contraindications that I mentioned. Honestly, any type of arthritis, especially with cold, isn't gonna help, but rheumatoid arthritis, extreme temperatures can hurt. And I can attest to this. I don't know if I have arthritis, but I will mention if I have my hand in cold water, if I'm like cutting up cold chicken. The first time I noticed this, I was carrying cold milk home from the grocery store in our first apartment. What did we name that apartment? Couple's
A
Corner?
couple something.
Couple's Corner. We lived by a grocery store, and I was carrying cold milk home one day, and it just killed my wrist. Not the weight of it, but the temperature of it. So I've always feared that I have arthritis, but I don't go get a diagnosis. I'm
Well,
afraid of the diagnosis, which doesn't change anything, but.
when we were little, we lived next door to a gas station. They did something that you don't really see anymore, but back in the day it was common practice. They had a in the middle of the gas station, they had a tub full of ice, and they would just jam drinks down in the ice. And so you
Yes.
could walk up, grab a drink out of the ice, put it on the counter, and poof. And us as children, me and McCade and some of our friends, we would go in there and we would jam our hands down in the ice. And whoever could keep them there the longest won. I don't remember how old we were. We were very young. And you would put your hand down in there, and after, I don't know, a minute or two, it would just become the worst pain. Like it.
Because you have rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, yeah, but also, like, for everybody. And you would just jam your hand down in there, and it would just, like, freeze it, and it contracts your nerves, we found out later, you know. It would just sit and ache, like, for the next like 30 minutes or whatever, and you're just like, holy crap, freaking, what is going on with this stupid, like, we just put our hand in cold, but yeah, we used to do that, and then, yeah, it was just the most crazy pain, just to kind of go along with what you know, were saying.
Yes. Next contraindication would be pregnancy, just because you have to be careful with their body temperature. Pregnant woman's body temperature that can affect baby. Multiple oh gosh,
Multiple
multiple
sclerosis.
sclerosis, which I have a lot of clients with MS. Massage is such a great tool for MS patients, but they just can't feel the temperature pop properly. Same with diabetics, especially around their feet. They just lose the sensation. Heart disease. We're, like I said, we're increasing your systems. Your circulatory system is one. So if you're on any heart medication, have on any heart disease, hydrotherapy manipulates blood circulation, heart rate, blood pressure, and the distribution of blood are all affected by hydrotherapy. Any heart disorder could be aggravated by the stress placed on the heart during treatment. In treatment where water covers the upper torso, the hydrostatic pressure of water could place too much pressure on the heart. This also includes any cardiac disturbance.
Would that,
And, sorry, go on.
no, I was just thinking as you were saying that, I'm like, so would it increase, not to say that, you know, you're not necessarily going to be at risk for it or whatever, but would it increase the risk of like throwing a blood clot, you know what I mean?
Yes, it definitely could, and that is my biggest fear. If you have varicose veins, you should not be getting a massage, because what a varicose vein is it's your vein swells up and blood can get stuck in the big parts of that vein and form a clot. And then if I go through massage and increase your blood flow, and then that clot moves, it could go into your lungs, it could go into your brain or your heart, causing a stroke, a heart attack, or what does it cause when it goes into your lungs? It's not bad, but I can't remember what the term,
Oh,
or
I don't know.
it is bad, but I can't remember what the term is. But yeah, all these things. Yes, varicose veins are a contraindication. I don't deny people massage for that. I just give them a very, very light pressure and very rarely go over the veins themselves. But yes, we can throw a clot, definitely. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Severe kidney infection, just for the same reason as with severe heart disease, it messes with your blood. So if you have any of those and are thinking of giving hydrotherapy a try, talk to your doctor first. Okay, moving right along, we have preherbal neuropathy, or just neuropathy in general, because you lose sensation. And the trouble with that, going back to diabetics and MS, is just that you could really hurt someone. They can't feel it's that cold, so they're now at higher risk of getting frostbite, because where you should stop, they can't feel, so you keep adding cold. Or even burns. You're adding hot towels to their body, and it's burning their skin, but they don't have that sensation, so you don't take it off like you should.
Mm-hmm.
And it burns them. So neuropathy, it's a contraindication. Uncontrollable high or low blood pressure. Again, we're messing with blood. Cancer. So cancer kind of goes back to, like I said, we're making your system speed up. A lot of cancer, if it enters your lymph system, you're basically fucked. Lymph cancer's probably one of the scariest cancers out there, which is why breast cancer's terrifying, since it's so close to your lymph system. Once it gets into your lymph, it can spread to the rest of your body so easy, and it's so hard to fight. So any form of cancer, 1,000% talk to a physician before you do freaking anything, before you get a massage, before you do hydrotherapy. That is doctor territory. Get their consent before you do anything.
Yeah, if you do get lymph cancer, you can beat it.
Oh, absolutely. But you have to be so careful.
I know a guy.
We know a guy. Brady knew a guy. I've heard of a guy. Vascular disease. Again, we're messing with blood.
Touch your veins, you crazy person.
Alcohol or drug intoxication. And this kind of goes back to, you're never supposed to give a massage to anyone under the influence, because again, we're speeding up your system. So you're just going to get extra sick when you get a massage while under the influence. And I can attest to this, having worked at a resort where people would come in, not come in drunk, but they'd get a massage and then they'd go to the bar and drink and then get extra sick. And we'd warn them, you need to drink water, not alcohol. So yes, alcohol and drugs can, don't do it and then do anything therapeutic after, please. Before, during, or after, just give your body time to heal totally. Undiagnosed illness. We just don't know what's going on there, so just don't. Whiplash. Manipulating the blood flow during the acute stages of whiplash, so that's like the very early stages of whiplash, may allow for transfer or possible blood clots into the brain. So just wait until you kind of know what's going on there. Just don't immediately. Which is kind of hard, because I feel like we all suffer from mild whiplash always. And what do we do when our neck hurts? We throw a freaking heat pack on there. So if it's, I'm going to say if it's severe enough, if you're in a car accident and you have whiplash, obviously see a doctor and then ask about.
Yeah.
When in doubt, ask your doctor.
So you wouldn't want to get a massage on a broken arm.
No, absolutely.
That's a terrible idea.
HIV and AIDS. A client with an immunodeficiency is susceptible to rare illnesses and diseases. Asking extra questions may enable you to uncover ailments that may otherwise be overlooked. Also, two other contraindications are cold and allergies. Basically, if you know I keep going back to it. We're speeding up your systems. If you know that, then you already kind of know what we can and can't work on. Okay, let's get into chirotherapy, which is a cold therapy. So you have short, cold, or long cold. Short cold is less than 1 minute. Short cold is the body reacts to cold by an initial shrinking of blood vessels in an attempt to send the blood supply to the core of the body. So that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, about your getting back to homeostasis, when I mentioned all that. The body then dilates its blood vessels in an attempt to warm up the tissues threatened by the cold. As the cold stimulus continues, the body recognizes the need to protect the core and once again shrinks the blood vessels. This is a very quick process in which all three reactions take place in less than 1 minute. This open and close reaction of the blood vessels produces a stimulating effect on the circulatory system and metabolism. Now, a long cold is more than 1 minute, usually up to 10 to 15 minutes, 20 minutes maximum. Mm. So this is what my cold showers are. Like I said, I do 3 minutes cold showers at the very end. I hate it, but I feel so good the rest of the day. A long cold treatment is when the cold is prolonged for more than approximately 1 minute. The vessels vasoconstrict to prevent heart loss from the core. This shrinking of the blood vessels slows the circulation. Metabolism also decreases. An application to cold temperature should not be left on for longer than 20 minutes. Tissue damage may set in. What happens when the treatment is over? After an application of cold is applied, the body reacts once again in effort to maintain homeostasis. Oh, gosh damn it. Why can I not pronounce that word tonight?
You did, didn't you?
Homeostasis. An influx of fresh, warm blood is sent to the now dilated vessels to heat the area back to normal body temperature. And then just real quick, and again, I'm like really cherry-picking this book, but it's meant for therapists. So it's not a lot that you guys can relate to. Unless there's any... Are there any therapists listening to this? That'd be so cool. Fellow massage therapists. I would love that. Anyways, we're going to talk about the three stages of sensation with long cold applications. And it really is true. And once you can get past the mental block, you can do cold... You can do cold showers. You can do... cold baths. You can do this because stage one is cold, the sensation of you're cold. Stage two is pain with possible aching and burning, and stage three is numbness. Once you sit in that cold shower for long enough, you stop feeling it, and then you can sit in there for up to 20 minutes. Don't do more than 20 minutes because then you're gonna get frostbite and other, what did the books say? I don't remember, but you feel numb, and you can get through it, so you got this. And then some applications for cold treatments are ice packs, slush packs, ice massages, which are really fun. I do remember getting a big block of ice and rubbing it on someone, and someone, I had my quads done, because my quads have always been tight, rubbing a big block of ice on someone. Ice massage, cold immersion baths, and heating compresses. Why would it say heating compress when we're talking about cold applicants? That's weird. Oh, I just found a footnote on it. It says heating compress. This is actually a cold compress covered with a layer of dry cloth, such as wool, that is applied and left alone for several hours or overnight. That kind of defeats the purpose of don't do more than 20 minutes. Allowing the body to warm the area. This process increases circulation, providing for an influx of nutrient and oxygen-rich blood, which speeds healing. Is this so boring for you?
No, it's fine.
You're so sweet. Alright, let's jump into heat therapy, which doesn't have a cute little name like chirotherapy does. It's just heat therapy. And once again, we have short heat, which is less than 5 minutes. And as opposed to the 1 minute of chirotherapy, your body can handle longer heat than cold, surprisingly. I know no one's surprised by that. And my book states, the local reaction of a short heat treatment is an opening of the blood vessels. Blood vessels are like elastic bands that expand in heat, which increase blood flow. Metabolism is also stimulated. And then you have long-term heat. more than 5 minutes up to 30 minutes. So you don't want to do more than 30 or you'll... You can really damage... Just personally, I've really fucked up my own skin before by using more than 30 minutes of heat. So just be careful. Don't do more than 30 minutes.
I've mostly done like 30 minutes of hot, 30 minutes of cold.
30 minutes of hot. Yeah, don't do 30 minutes of cold.
Maybe 10 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just do it till, till it
stops. And we'll get into tepid, which is half and half. So we'll get into that. So don't. Yeah, we'll get into that. So my book states that in prolonged heat treatment, the blood vessels continue to remain open. However, However, circulation slows down dramatically. We call this veniostasis. I feel like I'm reading Harry Potter words.
Veniostasis
is defined as stagnation, almost as if the blood flow were to pool. You may compare this reaction to the opening of floodgates. At first, water surges through, but once the force is no longer needed to push, the water just flows. Similar chemical reactions respond to heat. The circular activity of metabolism also increases. Caution must be exercised in long heat treatments, as the combination of increased metabolism can be dangerous to tissues. So I hope that kind of clears up. So yeah, no more than 30 minutes of heat. And the minimum, 5. But yeah, the body can handle heat better than cold. But that being said, it can get back to homeostasis better after cold than with heat. And like I said, if you're an anatomy freak like I am, once you understand like how, cold shrinks, heat expands, and then kind of get that in your head, it's kind of easier to understand how and why hydrotherapy, chirotherapy, and heat therapy work the way they work. All right, so some benefits for hot water is that it's great with pain relief, it's relaxing, it kills harmful bacteria. Sweat is excellent for its restorative abilities and elimination of toxins. I cannot speak. I am a mush mouth hero. Warm and neutral water soothes and relaxes nerves and muscles. Both hot and cold water for short duration acts to stimulate the body. This happens because we take the body away from homeostasis. The body perceives this interruption as a threat, as the body reaction to stimulation to the system. And some application for heat treatments are gel packs, paraffin baths, hot foot baths, heat packs, electric heating pads and blankets, hot immersion baths, whirlpool therapy. I could compete with Dan Cummins for the Mush Mouth Awards right now. Whirlpool, therapeutic pool, hydro massage. I just feel like I'm trying to talk too fast because I realize this is taking long and it's just making me a mush mouth. Medicine baths, sitz bath? I don't know what that is. Listen, it's been 12 years since I've been out of school. Steam and sauna, showers, irrigations, i.e. colonics and enemas. Irrigation, i.e. colonics and enemas. Moist heat versus dry heat. So that's basically sauna versus... It's the other way around. Steam room versus sauna. Although the use of dry heat allows for higher surface temperatures, moist heat is able to penetrate deeper layers of tissue, therefore affecting the muscles, not just the skin and superficial layers. So when it comes to health, steam rooms are better than saunas because you get that wet versus dry. if you were ever wondering. Okay, I think I told you we were going to get into tepid treatments. What I meant was contrast, but tepid came out. Probably because we read about it in the ancient history. So contrast is just hot and cold. Short heat would be 3 minutes, short cold 30 seconds. So this is what I recommend to every single client of mine that has tendonitis. I use this on myself with tendonitis. I recommend it to people with carpal tunnel. And it's if you have a sink with two basins, I guess, you fill one with hot water, as hot as you can stand, and one with cold water, colder than you can stand, I feel, because no one can stand cold water. But anyway, when I had tendonitis super bad, I would put my arms up to my elbows in the hot water for 3 minutes at a time. Then switch to the cold water basin for 30 seconds and back and forth as much as you feel is needed. I always recommend a minimum of 3 times in hot, 3 times in cold, always starting with hot, always ending with cold, just for reasons that we've already gone over, that your body can get back to homeostasis easier from cold. So that is what the contrast treatments are basically. It's basically using hot and cold at the same time. It's starting with hot, ending with cold. Think of icy hot. It always does start off super warm and then ends cold and chilly, does it not? I don't really use icy hot, so.
It's like,
That menthol?
Yeah, it's like warm.
And then chilly. But
it's like if there's a breeze, it'll cool it off super quick.
Yes. So always start, that's just a rule of thumb. If you want to use both, both are an amazing tool to use. But always, always start with hot. Always, always end with cold. And then quickly, because we've just went over with the other two, it can be used for showers, arm baths, foot baths, full immersion baths, and then packs and compresses. And that is basically my book that is not related to massage therapist. I mean, after that, we kind of go over like exfoliation, we go over wraps, we go over like using whirlpools, baths, and showers. Another cool, one of my favorite hydrotherapy treatments would be sensory deprivation tank. Super cool. I had one at my last job. I've been intrigued since I read this amazing book by John E. Upledger, Your Inner Physician and You, and he talks about lying in one and that zero gravity just kind of naturally realigned his body. And I will say I loved we called it a float tank, sensory deprivation tank, whatever you want to call it. I loved it for its benefits, and it was super amazing to use, but that also counts as a hydrotherapy treatment. It's water healing your body, but yeah, I hope that was informative. I hope it was fun. McKay, I feel like you'd be into this episode. Maybe you're bored. I don't know. Brady, you were bored, I'm sure.
I wasn't really bored, but I just felt like it was more of an education.
Like I said, I've been wanting to do something in the massage room because it makes me excited. I love massage so much, so I'm happy to talk about it. I just don't know how to talk about it. I feel like hydrotherapy was a good way to talk about massage, I guess, in a way. Like I said, now I mainly just use hot towels, and that is my hydrotherapy, but one day I'd love to do paraffin again. I'd love to do body scrubs and wraps. If I had the big dream spa, we'd have the Vichy shower, the steam room, the sauna, and the sensory deprivation tank, but I'm just aiming small. I just want my she shack with a bathroom in it so I can do a scrub and a wrap, and then that client can go shower off afterwards. Yeah, any questions, thoughts, concerns on hydrotherapy?
Not at the moment. You kind of answered the one I had about hydrocolonic/enemas being hydrotherapy, and the answer is yes.
Yeah. Just hydrotherapy, if you break down the word hydro meaning water, therapy meaning, I guess I don't know what therapy means, but treat your body, healing. So water healing your bodies. And then in any form, solid, liquid, air.
Gotcha.
I hope this was fun for people. Like I said, I've really been wanting to talk about massage. I love massage. It's one of my passions, but just how do you talk about it? So I hope this wasn't a dead episode. Hopefully someone got something out of it.
I'm sure somebody did.
All right.
Probably McCade.
Hopefully McCade, because he's into polar plunges and cold baths. And whatever else he's into, so. Well, thank you all for listening. Let me know in the comments. I'll try to remember to post a question. If you're on apparently you're only getting those questions if you're on Spotify, maybe the Anchor app, but I think my question I'm going to leave is, I don't know, should I leave the question, would you listen or watch my roll for book, or did you enjoy today? I'll just leave it. Did you enjoy today's episode? Let me know. Let me know what kind of episodes you would like to see in the future. Thank you for joining me, Brady. You can check Brady out on Attack This on YouTube. I'm currently playing through Harry Potter, which is a big mistake on Brady's part to ask me to play, but you can...
I know, I did a couple fights tonight that I'm like, you are going to have a tough time.
Well, is it the main story or a side quest?
One of them is a main story and one of them is a side quest.
For full disclosure, I am now recording my podcast with my eyes closed so Brady can play and I don't have any spoilers for when I play. And I fell asleep last episode. 10 house points to your house if you catch where I fell asleep, even though it's pretty obvious. But
it's where you'll go, oh, I fell asleep.
Hey, no, shh, shh, shh. How can I get house points if you give away the answer? All right, well.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I've been Amanda.
I've been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
And we love you.